This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 260. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Selena gets the refrigerator treatment, Cal is digitized, more post-apocalyptic fun, and what's Pond Far without Vulcan? This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, June 2nd, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Mark.
Yes.
This is the fifth week of the month.
Yes.
That means that we got very few comic books.
We got very few comics. But we did get a few of them, starting with Justice League of America number 4 by Johns and Booth. Well, the big shocker in this issue, has Catwoman really been fridged?
No. She has her own book. How could she be killed?
Well, that's one of the points that tells me no, she's not really been fridged. Issue 1 of Justice League of America ended up with Green Arrow apparently dead, but came back in the next issue. Oh no, he's not really dead. The same issue, when Argus was trying to get Catwoman to join the group, said that someone was impersonating her, or very much intimated that. There's also a shapeshifter on the team, John Johns, so it could have been a shapeshifter, who happened to have had a mental link with Selena earlier, in an earlier issue. As you mentioned, Selena has her own title that hasn't been canceled, and there's solicitations through the next at least 3 months. She's in the promo art for Trinity War. And most importantly, there was no pre-announcement from DC like they've done for every other major event and blown the...
Right.
And spoiled the surprise. And there's no Funeral for a Foe crossover announced, so...
So we are pretty sure she's not dead.
Right. Now, we also do get the first appearance of the New 52 Dr. Light and Shaggy Man. And Shaggy Man is this character that they probably haven't barely used since the 60s.
In the 60s a good guy or a bad guy?
Bad guy, then.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes. And they also introduced the Invisible Jet.
I think that was the best thing in this issue. I loved the Invisible Jet.
So now it's the Justice League of America's C-52 cargo plane.
That turns invisible.
Right.
And it's not really invisible. It's just invisible to most forms of detection.
Right.
It's not like they're driving around and people see them floating through the air like in the cartoon of Wonder Woman's Invisible Jet.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And you would just see her sitting there in a cockpit with the line around her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love the Invisible Jet.
Just flying around in the air in a seated position.
Yes.
And in the backup story, we get a revised origin for Martian Manhunter. And this is the idea that he's been sent off for some big trial.
Preparatory to taking the reins of Martian
government, essentially.
Yeah.
And he comes back to find that everybody's dead. So that's a little different than what we've seen in the past.
I still don't understand quite why that led to his fear of fire.
Well, because everybody was burned to a crisp.
Yeah, but it's not like he was there for the fire.
I suppose.
I mean, I could see if he was, like, trying to save them from the fire. But from the after effects, you know, I just don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Martians have different physiology and psychiatry than we do.
I guess. Adventures of Superman number 1 by Parker, Samnee, Lemire, Jordan, and Rossmo. So this is another DC digital first title. That is that they put this out in digital form about a few weeks earlier and then crank it out as a physical comic. And now that the whole controversy with Orson Scott Card has been resolved by kicking him off.
That was this book?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So, three stories. First one is about this schlub with telekinetic powers is fighting Cal in Metropolis, which turns out to be just a test from Luthor. We have a second story with two kids who are playing Superman and just can't decide who the villain should be. So they keep going through different villains, and we see these visualizations of what they're talking about.
I have to say, you just can't mistake Jeff Lemire's artwork for anyone else, can you?
Right. It's immediate. You see, you can tell who it is. And then the third story, Bizarro is back, and Cal figures out how Bizarro can actually do some good and basically tricks him into doing this mission for these scientists.
Like taking a probe to the sun or something?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this would be so bad. I would hate this.
I hope you don't do this. And then this reverse psychology Bizarro thing going on. So I like this. Small short stories, which I think work a little better anyways. And of course, a title like this is going to be completely dependent on the creatives involved with that story.
Right. I do like these small digital-only ones. I haven't read them digitally, but I do think this would be a great way for kids to get into comics.
Right.
Digitally, with so many of them having iPads and stuff now,
you
know? And I don't know, how much are the digital shorts?
They're like a dollar or something.
Yeah, see, for 99 cents, I would buy a few for a kid and let them try them out, you know?
The Wake, number one from Vertigo by Snyder and Murphy. So it's another post-apocalyptic miniseries.
Post-apocalypse. That's big now.
That's the big thing
It's big.
And we see in some future world, it looks like Earth, where there's this flooded city, a girl, and a dolphin that either has cyber enhancements or is actually a robot.
It's a cybernetic or cyborg dolphin.
Right.
Yes.
And we don't really see too much of them because we go back 200 years earlier to whale expert Dr. Archer, who was let go from NOAA because apparently she couldn't keep her mouth shut about certain things and spoke her mind. And so the government calls her back in to solve this mystery that involves an underwater drilling rig. Oh, and some sort of alien. So we don't really learn too much there early either. It's just more of a teaser. And then a final teaser involving aliens and cavemen 100,000 years ago. So this is all very intriguing, but it is very much just a teaser to this, I think, 8-issue miniseries.
Okay, so it's already said it's a miniseries?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was starting to think that Vertigo is sort of like the Fox TV of comics. You know, canceling Saucer Country and, you know, they don't like the aliens or something.
Yeah, well, it would be hard to get Scott Snyder to do yet another ongoing series with everything else he's doing now. Star Trek Ongoing number 21 from IDW by Johnson and Fahar.
Was this the after the countdown one?
Right.
Okay.
And so we're now past the new movie in the storyline, which has always been an issue with Star Trek comics. As movies come out, they have to kind of reset. But in this case, they were so, I think, much more tied in than they were before because they got to do that prequel to the movie, the miniseries, which they kind of tie up some points in this issue from, and the fact that they did those standalone origin stories for the last several issues of the main comic really put them in much better position than what we've seen in the past.
Now, just to briefly go aside from the comic for a minute, we did see the movie. We enjoyed the movie. One thing I liked in the movie was, or that I noticed, I'm not going to say it was a point that you would like or dislike, but they referred to several previous missions that we hadn't seen in a movie, right?
Right.
And I was just thinking, oh, well, they could even be referring to the comic book stories that might have happened or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I thought that was kind of neat that, you know, they're not implying we went straight from that to this.
Mm-hmm.
And they're allowing for that other story continuity to come in.
And it also seems like overall Paramount must be being much more open than they've been in the past to the publisher for the comic book.
Well, I think they have to be more open just in general now, because there are, if you think back to even, you know, Next Generation and a little bit of DS9, we weren't really into the real internet era then.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They didn't have Wikipedias and blah, 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 blah. And now there's just so many more sources tapping into your mythology and bringing stuff out of it that you sort of have to be open to those other different streams of information.
Right. So the 5-year mission begins that they reference at the end of the movie now begins in this comic. And McCoy is still worried about that magic blood running through Kirk that saved him in the movie.
And I liked that as well, because too many times in Trek, you see things where, oh, the transporter mysteriously cured this, or
right,
or the blood mysteriously cured this, and you never hear about it again. And you'd think they'd be using it to cure all of humanity's illnesses.
Right. And Carol Marcus from the movie is still around for some reason.
Because they haven't gotten her pregnant yet.
Well, oh, I suppose, wait, no. Well, suddenly it's Pon Farr time, which, as Trek fans know, is the time when a Vulcan has these urges and has to go back. It's kind of like a whole salmon thing that has to go back to his home planet and find his mate. And the problem is there's no Vulcan in this continuity for Spock to go to, because Vulcan was blown up in the first J.J. Abrams movie. So it's off to New Vulcan, where the refugees who were not on Vulcan at the time have all apparently come together.
Do you remember how many people got off Vulcan in the movie?
It was only like a few thousand.
Yes. Which brings us to the next point that I think is maybe a little unrealistic.
Yes, because Spock meets his betrothed, who we assume is this continuity's version of T'Pring.
How likely is it that millions and millions of people are killed, and, you know, of the few that are saved, one of them happens to be Spock's betrothed?
Well, I assume they're going to try to explain that in the next issue, because that's kind of the final reveal. But just before that, there's a reference to an earlier mission that involves an alternate dimension and the Gorn, which is kind of bringing together two concepts from two original series episodes, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting. And maybe we'll see that story at some point.
I really, really do like how they're redoing this with the movies and with this, with redoing the episodes, even using, I'll say it, Khan.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for the spoilers, but you're already spoiled if you're listening
to
this.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
And bringing them in a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the last shots, we see that the Romulans are up to no good, and it involves Section 31.
Dun, Do we dun, have dun. Any clue what that is?
I think it was referenced in one of the comic books miniseries.
Okay.
That's the impression I get, but I don't remember it.
Okay. As I'm saying, I really do like these new Star Trek comics.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, there's no Who's on the Cover this week because of the damn double issue.
Damn
you, double issues! So, I want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email us at podcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.